Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. This is episode 419 of your Overseas Connection podcast. It is April 29th, 2017, and I am just one of your humble hosts today, Skippy. Along with me today, I've got Bob, also known as Robin Tate.
Hello.
Do you want more than that?
Okay. I can't take the gag any further. Robin, how are you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing really good. I'm much better. It took a week to get over that crap that I was here. What, 2 weeks ago? It was just bloody awful. I was croaking, and my Canadian friend let me do it. So, yeah. You know, the show must go on. He was even there watching and standing at the sides, and he, you know, didn't step in and go, yeah, well, I'll help you out. You just take a rest there, Robin. But no, I don't need that. You know, that amoeba in Canada, he can just stay up there. He's off the Christmas list.
Robin, all people know the importance of pushing people beyond what they think they can achieve, right?
Yeah.
Greg knows this.
Got to rest for that once. I'm good.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're doing much better. I was going to bring this up a little later in the show, but we might as well address it now. Okay. You've already addressed it somewhat, but you know, Robin, you had stepped in to fill in for Fraser the week before, mm-hmm. and then last week you were. I had not realized doing very poorly, sick as all get out, and so I had just assumed everything was fine. And I heard some comments from other podcast members like, oh, yeah, wow, Robin really sounded pretty rough. And so I finally get around to listening to the podcast, and you are like on your deathbed. And the amazing part was Fraser, who also one of the hosts for this podcast, joined the show. And Fraser, even before the show started, you're like, I'm not doing too well. You can host if you want, Fraser. And Fraser's like, nah, you go ahead. It's good.
You know, with friends like these, you know, what's the rest of that saying? What the hell? Sharon, what do we sit here and chat? That's all we did.
Hey, we're going to do some more of that today. Fraser Moore is also on the podcast. Hello, Fraser.
I am. I don't know if that couldn't have been last week. I wasn't here last week. So
maybe it was the week before. It was the week before. So, yes.
Yeah, but that's all right. We can just flog this donkey for weeks on end, no doubt. We'll bring it back up again next week as well. And
it's funny. I mean, I was so bad, actually. You know, usually after the show, we usually stay on for an extra 15 minutes or so chatting. And I think it was like, right, guys, goodbye. I got to go to bed. Gone.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Sure. It's
what
all
can
good.
You expect? At it least they good. Made a plane for World War One. Huh?
Hey, Canada has contributed many things to the world. The most useful maple syrup and Canadian bacon.
We'll get to the USA bashing later.
That's right around the corner. Speaking of which, we have our local animal enthusiast, Kim Woods, on the show.
Yes. Hi, our enthusiast. Oh, dear Lord. Here they go again. You know, PETA still hasn't called yet, so I'm just, you know, I'm waiting with bated breath. You know, PETA or the Humane Society or, you know, any of those nice organizations.
I don't think PETA's going to call you. I think they're just going to start, like, splashing blood all over your
car.
Probably.
They'll be picketing outside my house, you know, tomorrow.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. Kim, thank you for joining the podcast this week.
Of course.
And I do want to give some special mentions to Mr. Richard Webster, who is manning the scene behind the camera, so to speak. Rich, thanks for doing all the streaming stuff for us this week, as always. We very much appreciate it.
No props.
And no props. I suppose I should give a proper introduction to myself. My name is Greg DeLacy, OC_Murphy's Law on Twitter. You can also call me Skippy for this episode. All right.
I'm behind the times. I'm sorry. I'm well behind here. Where does this come from?
Right.
Oh, we will talk. Yeah.
No, we'll be talking about this very shortly.
Okay.
In fact, we might as well just talk about it in well, okay. First of all,
let's deal with the kangaroo in the room.
Yes. It's okay. It's okay. The kangaroo in the room is fine. We broadcast every week. So if you are happening to catch us on audio and you ever think, and I don't know why you might think this, but maybe, just maybe, you're sitting at home on a Saturday and you're like, I got nothing better to do. Why don't I watch these guys' podcast? You can do that live on Twitch, twitch.tv/OC podcast, or you can go to beam.pro/OC podcast. And last but certainly not least, we are on the YouTubes, and we don't give our actual YouTube channel. Just find it. You just look us up. The Overseas Connection Podcast. We're there, too, every Saturday, 11 p.m. UK. Look how I gave you guys top billing. And 6 p.m. on the East Coast. And as you travel out to the land of the sun, 3 p.m. West Coast, not Japan. All right. Let's talk.
Japan.
Yeah. Let's talk about what we did this past week. So, Robin, you have started something.
Sorry.
Not just the Year of Living Gamedrously, and not the I Don't Want to Shave Today Club, but
today?
Yeah, today. This is actually a week. But you had sent me an audiobook probably about a month back, but because you sent it to me from Audible UK – apparently Audible UK and Audible USA don't play very nicely. It took me actually calling Audible to claim my code, but I finally got it. But prior to me getting that code, I was like, you know what? I just am going to sign up to Audible anyway. I can do my free trial again.
Yeah.
And so I downloaded a book and then I ended up sharing that over to back to you. And so we've been doing this audiobook stuff.
Yeah, the last couple of months, yeah, I've been doing a lot of Audible stuff in between the podcasts, and there's been a couple of books that you're about to go into that we have that we're really hooked into. They're just right up, probably everybody that listens to this podcast cup of tea. Actually.
Yeah, I was going to say. So the first one is a book you actually talked about a little ways back called "We Are Legion, We Are Bob."
Bob.
Really fantastic book. I just finished it up today. Unfortunately, I think I missed some bits and bobs, only because oftentimes I was listening to it late at night when I was actually, you know, crashing into the bed for the night. And so I found myself waking up and a good 15, 20 minutes of the podcast or the book had already played. So I had to like rewind and I don't know. But overall, fantastic book. It's a book about the future, shock, sci-fi. Both these are sci-fi settings. It's about artificial intelligence, or I guess being. I don't know how to describe it, Robin. Maybe you can describe
it. He was frozen in a fridge after he died. He woke up 200 years later to realize he was inside a computer, and he was sent out to space. One of those thingy probes, I can't remember the name of the probe, that replicate themselves because manned space flight was too complicated and the world had went to war anyway. And all competing nations sent these probes out. And it's what happens to him and his adventure. And he replicates himself. So this guy's called Robert Bob. And he replicates himself, so it's another Bob. But that Bob has his memories up to the moment he replicated himself. And then they sort of part ways. So they all take on different Bob names. So there's, you know, one gets a Riker. It's all very nerd culture. You know, there's a Thor later on. There's a whole pile of different guys, a Homer. And it's cool. And what happens of his adventures around the universe and the things that he discovers. And it's clever. It's funny. It's grounded in some sort of semi-reality, which makes it sort of believable.
But that's okay. It's
grounded
strange.
Enough. Yeah, it's not crazy phasers and lasers and stuff. It's sci-fi. It is sci-fi.
Yeah,
but it's lots of fun. The things he gets involved with, from discovering new species to going at war with the other probes that were sent out. Lots of really funny situations and thought-provoking too. There's two books. The second book was just released, just came out about 2 weeks ago.
That's good, because I need it's
really good too. I finished it as well.
It does leave you on a bit of a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
So I was actually kind of, you know, that it was almost a Halo 2-like cliffhanger, where it's clearly things are not finished. So, yeah, they have their hooks in me. I'll be getting the second one for sure.
If you can imagine Fraser, right? So Fraser gets his brain frozen or his body frozen in the hope that he gets woke up in 100 years or 50 years or 200 years.
And right, his hope was, and it's important to note here, hope is, Fraser, that you have your brain frozen with the thought of, and I'm sure this is happening with other people that do this today, that somewhere down the line, technology will advance enough that they'll be able to bring you back to life, put you in a new body, and you'll be living again.
If technology existed, you know what? I would be happy with just getting a lie into about 9 o'clock in the morning. That would be
So in this case, Fraser's frozen and he wakes up inside an iPad. Well, that's what it is.
Right. Yeah. And you find out that your wish of being kind of a reborn as a new person, instead you're being reborn basically as property. Hmm. That was the very interesting twist to that beginning part of the book. So it's really good stuff.
Recommend. The second one that I came across, and you seem to come across at the same time as well, which was a book by Craig Allison, quite famous author, I believe, Columbus Day Expeditionary Force. There are several of these here. Again, same sort of theme. There's an AI in this, which comes in a few chapters in. At the beginning, the book is all right. It's steady enough. But there's a certain character called Skippy, and Skippy is an AI.
Robin. He's not an AI. He is a sentient being. An AI.
All right. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay. To describe what this AI is like in personality, Greg and I were talking earlier today or yesterday. He's like Stewie from Family Guy. He has that sort of twisted humor and thinks the human race is just dirt on the bottom of his shoe, amoeba, crappy.
It's so much so he says we would be lucky to consider ourselves as equals to amoebas. He does not think very highly of the human race, but we are a tool for him to kind of get at his long-term plan.
So the crux of it is Earth is invaded, we think, by this alien race that are fighting another alien race. And the second alien race comes and chases the first ones away. We go to work for them. We think we're all fantastic. And things go a bit askew and a bit weird. And not weird, but just fun. And again, I finished the first book. I'm on to the second book right now. It's brilliant. So, look, I love reading books, but time is so short. And I just love the podcasting, listening to. But this here, the Audible thing over the last couple of months has been brilliant for me. I'm really enjoying some of these Audible books. So there's two really good recommendations.
Can I just throw in real quickly? Hmm. You know, oftentimes people say, you know, listening to an audiobook is not quite the same because your impression of what a character might sound like may differ. And so you kind of get a skewed version of the book. But for these two particular books, because the reading, the voiceover person that does the readings for both of these books, they're both very talented people.
Yeah, very much.
And they lend a personality that is just perfect for the characters in these books. And so to me, actually, it really enhances the book. I think I would not take the humor nearly as well as I do with the audio version as I would if I was just reading it.
Oh, I don't know. You would put your own stake on it. I mean, I wish I could give it credence or justice, but I mean, to quote Skippy, I mean, some of the lines that had me giggling. I mean, your species is responsible for Windows Vista.
Yes.
It's that sort of humor. Really good nerdy humor as well there. So as well as the sci-fi. Very, very good. Good. Oh, that's books.
Yeah. So books.
Burn them. Books. Burn books. Listen to the audio.
Yep. Yep. Burn the books. Listen to
Looks
the audio.
Looks like we got ourselves a reader here.
Yeah. Arkansas, here we come.
Oh, Lord. And last but not least, on my to-do list from last week, I installed some ceiling speakers. I'm quite proud of myself. They actually turned out exactly as I envisioned, which for most house projects isn't quite exactly how that usually goes. But this time around, yeah, this is they turned out perfect. And Fraser, you're going to be happy to know the speakers I chose are Paradigm from Canada.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So I bought Canadian product, and I'm supporting my northern brothers.
That is good to know. I didn't know. I'm not familiar with that brand. But I'll keep an eye open for them because
they're excellent.
See, the Brits make good speakers, but by God, they cost a fortune to get them in Canada. So I'll check out Paradigm.
You should look them up. Yeah. So I went with 8-inch, 2 8-inch into the ceiling, and then I have a center speaker, which they actually have a really cool design. It's like a bookshelf type speaker, but you can actually flip it horizontal. So depending upon where you're putting it in and what kind of profile you want, it can act as kind of that horizontal speaker as opposed to a vertical.
Nice.
But yeah, so.
Got yourself a sub yet?
Oh, yeah. I've got a subwoofer that sits actually right behind our sofa so we can, you know, feel the rumble in the butt.
Okay, I saw a very interesting product the other day. So basically, you take it. It's you have a control box which hooks into the Robin you're going to want.
Your butt?
No, you have a control box. I can't remember what it was called now. Something like Bigfoot or something like this. Anyway, so you have a control box that hooks into the line of the audio.
Right.
And then it detects the bass of whatever's being sent through the system. Then you have another section which plugs into the wall and is basically a big rumble pack which just sits under one leg of your sofa. And so it just detects the slight amount of bass. Okay. And it just puts a little rumble on your sofa. And I was watching a video on it, and I'll send you the link later. But I was watching it. I was like, well, that just seems like okay, nice gimmick or whatever. But the guy at the end goes, you know what? If you just have it, just so it just adds a little bit to the rumble on your seat,
right?
It's supposed to be very cool. So
I don't know. The Tannoy bass spin that I have out in the main plate, it shakes the whole house if I turn it up.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to do that with this, I'm assuming, right, Fraser?
Well, I have to be careful with my subwoofer because I have neighbors, right? I don't live in a detached house, so I have to keep the sub under control, but this would solve.
But even still, you could have the sub still low, but you still could have the rumble come through. I'm assuming.
It's a really nifty little.
One that you were going to talk about because we were talking about rumble, you know, your butt. I thought you were going to talk some sort of butt rumbler there, and it didn't really go the way I thought that was going to go at all.
thankfully, Fraser. Thankfully for that. Yes.
Yes.
In fact. This makes me think back to my childhood. I saw A Bridge Too Far.
Right?
Sorry, hold on.
Rumble in the butt. No. Hear me out. So A Bridge Too Far, saw it in the theater, and it was one of the first theaters that used the rumble bass in the seats. And so every time they were firing off cannons or explosions, your seat was shaking and rumbling.
It came out in the early 60s when that film came out. That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So moving on.
Damn. Hey, I got some new chickens.
You got some new chickens?
Yeah, I got some new chickens. So we've had 4 chickens, 1 rooster and 3 hens. We lost a couple. So I thought it was time to add some more chickens. So I went and I got 4 new hens, a little gray one, a black one, 2 brown ones, right? So they're ready to lay. So there must be 8 months old. So I put them into the multi-story chicken hutch, so it's multi-level. Right. And I've noticed, I've had them now for about a week and a half, and there's now chicken gangs. There is a group of chickens, older ones, that don't want to play with the younger chickens, completely separate. They do their own thing. They do share the one hutch at night time, but through the day, it's like Gangs of New York in chicken land. It's like you watch the bullying going on. It's just a whole little subculture of chicken life, a whole subsection of it. It's like I don't know, like L.A., down somewhere bad in L.A., and there's the bad chickens and the good young chickens, and they're working their way up, and I'm really interested to see what's going to happen in a week or two. I mean, are the young chickens going to win and rule the roost, literally, or will it be the bad old fellas?
You know, Robin, the easy way to find out is you should just take little knives and attach them to their feet. Because this is pretty much cockfighting, Robin. That's basically what you have going on inside your chicken house is cockfighting.
Yeah, it's very interesting to watch. Just, I thought you all needed to know that. It's very, 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 very interesting. That's what my life has become. And I had 34 people for dinner.
I've been to a real cockfight, Robin.
Yeah, many of them. Yeah. Grind it, baby. Grind it.
Here's the thing. So in the Philippines, When a chicken died because it lost, they would cook the chickens up right then and there, out back. Take them out, cook them up, and then you had people walking around with chicken on a skewer. However, chickens that won but died from like a fatal wound or whatever, but they actually won the match, bury those chickens because they consider them warriors, and so they would bury them. I don't know. Go figure. This is why the Philippines got overrun.
Chickens. I had 34 people for dinner today. I wish I had some of those dead chickens. 34 friggin' people here in my house for dinner. It was like a military exercise around here today. Just amazing.
Wasn't there a birthday?
Yeah, we had this thing. It was like an obstacle course. Like instead of getting a bouncy castle, we have this thing. It's 90 feet long. It's like three sections of bouncy castle all stitched together in a big, big obstacle course. Class, going to have some fun with that tomorrow. So we had a load of kids and then all my nephews, nieces and brothers and father and daughter-in-law, and they all came. And oh, just unbelievable. Big, massive pots of curry. Judith, she was rocking that kitchen today. Fantastic.
Did you say pots of curry?
We had big pots of curry. Yeah, curry has been cooking. I was out working in the garden this morning, painting and doing other bits and pieces. Yes, Sarah, my audio probably is wonky from time to time because my chickens control my internet. In fact, my chickens are probably on the internet. That's probably what the problem is. So I was out working in the garden early this morning and painting the fire pit. It came out really well. And I could smell the start of the curry being made from outside. And at 10 o'clock this morning, I was ready to eat curry. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Wait, this podcast is about other stuff, isn't it?
It is. But before we get into the other stuff, real quickly, we want to give Kim and Fraser an opportunity to actually speak. I think, Robin, you and I have hogged the entire first 20 minutes.
Yeah, we did.
Minutes.
Yeah. God, we used that well, didn't we?
No way.
I want to hear more about Audible.
Let us continue on. Let's talk a little bit about what Kim has done. Kim, anything you want to talk about right now, shooting squirrels, raccoons, eating bats, anything?
Well, there has been no eating of bats. I can tell you that. No, I'm just the normal stuff. I did finally get the drywall finished, and I got paint up on the walls. So you know, there's that. So
For those that don't know, Kim is building her house as we speak.
Yes, well, not as we speak because I'm here, obviously. But yes, we took the idiot plunge of building our house and.
Noble plunge.
In between us, we have no contractor experience whatsoever, so it's been interesting to say the
Yay,
least.
Yay, that's the best way,
right?
Yeah, Kim, have you ever seen the show First Time Flippers?
Yes, I watch it pretty religiously just to see where they screw up.
I think of you every time I watch that show now.
No, but the sad thing of it is they've screwed up way more than we've ever thought of. So it's kind of funny, yeah. Which, now that I've said that, watch, something will happen and we'll majorly screw up and, you know, karma. But no, the big news of all things, in probably about a week's time, I should have new, faster internet. So, yes, fiber optic is coming to the boonies. So
excellent. Yeah. Excellent. All right. Look out, world. Kim is going to be able to surf porn twice as fast.
And if I do get internet here, exactly right, in about a week, I might even be able to podcast from the new abode. Now, there won't be probably anything in it. It'll probably just be bare walls, but I'll have internet. So, hey,
As opposed to the lovely decorated walls behind you.
Yes, the lovely, you know.
Decorated with raccoon guts.
Yes, of course, you know.
All right, excellent. And last but certainly not least, our friend from the North, Fraser Moores. Anything you wanted to chime in on before we dive into video games? Because we do actually talk about video games. We'll get there.
I don't think so. I'm just grateful that we're suddenly moving into spring. I'm finishing off a couple of things where my curling season is now finally at an end. I've just finished my third curling season, which I enjoyed immensely. I'm just into my last month of being a cub leader. That is wrapping up soon. And then I should.
Will you do it again?
No. No, I won't. Oh, and there you go. You asked me to talk, and here comes the phone. Hang on. You guys can carry. Hang on.
Yeah, we will carry on. So, Fraser finishing.
Jeez, that's a phone from the friggin' 70s?
No, I know. It's Canada. It is what it is.
Okay. So, here we're on to the next beer, which is called Fruit Loop. And it's now mango, water, hops, yeast, malted barley, and malted wheat. Okay. Mm.
The mango sounds like a better choice in a beer kind of a flavor as opposed to watermelon. Watermelon just didn't sound very, beer friendly.
Big holes.
So Fraser has finished up his curling.
Sorry.
Fraser, I'm actually starting up bowling. Nice. I used to bowl all the time. I stopped bowling for a good 8 years. And my buddy was like, hey, I'm thinking about doing a bowling league. And I was like, fuck, I haven't thought about bowling, and I couldn't tell you. So I went out and bought a bowling ball. I'm all in.
Nice. We can call balls, you Homer
balls,
then.
Balls, oh, yeah. Balls, balls, yep. Balls, balls.
All right.
Sorry, what weight of ball did you get? I always lift a 14, and I don't know if that's right or not, because I always seem to be the one that gets – maybe it's because the holes seem bigger. But right. What is the correct weight for a person of our stature to be throwing –
I mean, honestly, it is going to be anywhere probably between 14 and 16-pound ball. 16 is the heaviest ball that you can throw.
Is that pounds? Okay.
Yes.
That's not
sorry.
Size. 14. Okay. Didn't know that. Yep. So do you have your own shoes?
I have them on the way.
Okay. Are the standard red, white, and blue ones that you get?
No. These look like proper, like a Nike. They're made by a company called Dexter.
It's just to keep
stuff
it fair.
Nobody wants to know, but I'm going to tell you just because.
You'd be surprised, Greg, on what
Fraser
we
was
want
talking
to know.
About
us
before.
Gentlemen, yes, us gentlemen, when we get to a certain age, we can become interested in the most obscure topics. Do not underestimate how much I want to know about bowling.
All right.
Yes. Same here. Yep.
So I bought it's called the maker of the bowling ball is called Hammer, and it is a Black Widow Assassin. That's the type of ball.
Yes,
that's what I'm talking about. And I throw a fingertip ball. So so when you go to the bowling alley, they're not usually drilled for fingertips. They're drilled so you your whole knuckle goes all the way into the ball.
Ooh.
So a fingertip, I'll just have that much in.
The dude abides. Ooh, yeah.
But that's how you throw a hook. So my ball will go out into the lane and come back in.
Do you know why they hook? I know why they hook. Because they only oil 2/3 of the lane.
Yep. And depending upon the ball type that you get, the exterior of the ball will perform either better or worse within oily conditions. So depending upon how far down that oil is, it may catch earlier, it may catch later. And then also internally in the ball, there is a different every type of ball has a different kind of core.
Yep.
And the core will determine kind of how it will roll. It's a crazy science that's involved with the
I
team.
Am really, really good at bowling. I am the best at bowling. I turn heads with my overarm technique.
I worked in a bowling alley for 3 years through university.
Yep. Okay.
So I have bowled a lot. So right. I I'm not saying I'm a glamorous bowler or a full of technique, but when you've bowled hundreds of games, you can bowl a half decent. hefty game.
Look at my beer. It looks like orange juice.
But it's like most mango. Sports.
Yes.
The complexities, once you dive into them, are fascinating.
Oh, totally. Completely. And so my ex-wife actually used to be on the Pro Bowlers tour.
I did not know that you had an ex-wife.
Well, now you know. Yes, yes.
Which one?
Moving on. Anyway. was married once before. I'm actually still very good friends with my ex-wife. She donates to my Extra Life every year. She takes part in one of my fantasy football leagues. So, yeah, left on good terms. We were better friends than married, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, this week I was 20 years married. Woo-hoo!
Congratulations. Yes, congratulations on that.
20 years. Jeepers. Oh,
yeah, 20, imagine. Ooh, 20, you get less for murder.
Me for 20 years. That's why I grew this beard. So
I was just going to say, 20 years. Yeah.
I'm just going to roll her eyes. I can't tell that joke all the time. It's not even funny anymore.
20 years. How long are you married, Fraser?
11.
Solid answer.
Good.
Uh-oh. Wrong answer.
What year is it?
What year is it? 2017.
17. Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah. 12.
11, 12. Who's counting, right?
I was accused of being quite soppy on Facebook this week. So I will read you. Sorry to digress, but I'll read you what I put up, okay?
Right.
So where's my Robin Tate posting that I...
Also, done. Folks, by the way, we will eventually get to talking about video games. There is lots to talk about. We will get there.
There's no real need. I haven't played anything. And, I thought I erased King's Quest off Kim's...
You did.
Here's what I posted.
It just keeps
my life is good. In fact, it's great. And on this day, 20 years ago, Judith and I were married. We've experienced so much together as friends, husband and wife, parents and foster carers. Sometimes the going is tough, but we're there for each other, and I can't imagine wanting to share the next 20 years with anyone else, apart from Cindy. Happy anniversary, Judith. There. I was accused of being soppy.
I know. Judith put an answer in there, which she immediately raised. Really she good. Rose super. Really I really was. Knew that I that liked your brilliant. Life a lot.
Yeah, it was class. What was it? Where? Sorry, I'll do this. Yeah, I can't believe it's 20 years, Robin. It feels like 50. And then I told her immediately after that that she was fired.
Yep.
Anyway, there you go. That's life.
Yeah, no. And then 20 years later, after you were married, you stopped shaving.
Yep. I didn't want to do the sex thing at the 20th anniversary, so she hates the spikies. So that was a good
one. So here's something I never wanted to hear from my father. Recently, my dad has a full beard. He's got the full-on Grizzly Adams beard. And he shows up Easter, and he doesn't have a mustache at all, just the lower half of the beard.
Okay.
And he looks like he's Amish. I was like, something you going to tell me, Dad? And he's like, apparently this was tickling.
Oh, shit.
Immediately did not need to hear that, Dad. Didn't need to hear that.
Oh, dear.
76 years old, you are not supposed to be doing that.
I hear he's very good at languages.
Yeah.
He's a cunning linguist.
Yes. All right, moving on. Video games. Yes, we do, in fact, talk about them. Fraser Moores, I'm going to start with you because you have, out of everybody else, one of the most interesting games I want to hear about. How are you getting along with Yooka-Laylee?
Well, I'm not getting along with it any longer because I rented it from the library. And I had it for a week, and my plan was to just keep playing it. But you know what? I've hit this. I'm going to admit it here, and I'm on a gaming podcast, so I probably should. I've hit this dip. I'm just really not that interested in playing games right now. I don't know whether it's just this turn in the season, and I've got no motivation to – there's a couple of things that have distracted me. So before I get to Yooka-Laylee, I am 100% utterly addicted to Twitch at the moment. All I do, instead of sitting down and playing a video game, I watch Battlegrounds on Twitch. That's almost exclusively it. I've finally succumbed and subscribed to a Twitch streamer.
Wow.
I've given a Twitch streamer money because I've watched him so much, and he's like, you know, one of the nicest he's a really nice dude, Canadian. His name's Halifax. Halifax is his name, if you fancy looking him up. Really nice guy. So I thought, yeah, you know, give back.
Right.
But that's what I'm watching now. I'm coming in and I'm firing up Twitch and watching Twitch for an hour or two.
So proud of you, Fraser. You have broken the addiction from RedTube. It's really, really good. I am so proud.
I don't even know what that is, but...
Oh, I know what it is. It's pretty much what everybody thinks you're watching instead of Twitch.
Right.
Right.
I don't know. I'll tell you, one of the funny things was I was sitting with someone the other day, and he was quite a young guy. He was probably like in his late 20s or something like that. And he was talking to me about Netflix and what he was watching at the moment. And then I said, well, you know what? It's really odd, but what I am watching at the moment is, you know, Twitch. He goes, no, I don't know what that is. I said, well, it's like video gamers. Gamers streaming, watching video games. I'm actually sitting down and watching other people play video games. And the guy just looked at me like I had two heads. There's just deathly silence. Yeah. I got to be going now. All right, see you.
Right, yeah.
So it's very strange. It's very, very odd. I mean, I know I've talked about it before, and I've watched some Metal Gear Solid streaming and things like that, but I have not put down watching Battlegrounds. I think it's a combination. The game is just phenomenal to watch. I'm heavily invested now in two of the guys. I switch back and forth on their streams, plus they sometimes team up together and play games. And it's just great. I love it. So that's
real quickly though, Battlegrounds. It's interesting you bring up watching Battlegrounds, because if I'm not mistaken, in Battlegrounds, once you die, you no longer can see the match.
Pretty much, yeah. Once they get knocked out, then that's it. Then they'll just start firing it up again to jump into another match. But these guys are... I'm also fascinated by the fact that these guys are professional streamers. I mean, I've never really... I've watched a lot of the Metal Gear stuff, and those guys just do it every now and then. So you say, okay, right, so they're sitting down, they're doing an eight-hour session, and there's three of them that do it. So you figure that one out. But these guys get up every day, and they stream for 10 hours, you know, 5 to 6 days a week. And I'm totally fascinated. And they're very good at the game. So a lot of the time, there's a high chance they're going to get to the end state of the game. So you're not losing the entertainment value that way. But I'm also equally as fascinated by how these guys keep motivated to do it. Like, it's just beyond me. I mean, there's a part of me, you start watching them, you think, oh man, that's a really sweet gig. They just get to play video games all day, and they obviously get enough revenue to make it worth their while. You know, they talk. Once you watch them for a while.
Dad's basement.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, well, it depends. These guys, I don't know, they have enough, they say they're making enough to pay the bills or whatever that. I mean, you get another one, I mean, you can go up the ranks to someone like Summit, who's one of the top YouTubers. He's got to be clearing hundreds of thousands a year doing it, right? But regardless of that, like, I can watch for a couple of hours and then I'm done. I don't know how these guys keep motivated, you know. I guess that it's I just find it very interesting. And I find it equally fascinating that I find it fascinating. And I sort of take a step back every so often and have to question my sanity as to what am I doing with my life.
We all kind of question that. Grace, I believe, also questions it a little bit, but you know.
Probably. Again, you know, it's just you hook into something that you find interesting and that's it. So that's what I have been doing. And I implore anyone to go check out Battlegrounds. I'm convinced that it's going to be a massive game on the consoles. Probably not this year, but next year or at some point soon.
Yep, agreed.
So anyway, that's the diversion. I did get Ukulele and then I just sort of dropped off a bit and sent it back to the library. But the week that I had Ukulele, which was up to a few days ago, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. It was... you know, I was listening to the CAGcast, and I know Robin listens to the CAGcast as well. And I think Shipwreck was talking about Ukulele the other day. I'm not sure whether it's the most recent episode or another one. But what he said was the exact same thing that I've said. If you are pining for an old Nintendo 64 platformer in the vein of Banjo-Kazooie, pretty much the exact same as Banjo-Kazooie, then this is your game. If you're not really too bothered, you probably would come or not familiar with that genre or the style of these guys when they made these games. It might not be your cup of tea, but that was exactly what I was expecting, exactly what I wanted. As soon as it fired up and the sights, the sounds, the smells, you might as well be playing Banjo-Kazooie 3. We're not including Nuts and Bolts, right? So it's a worthy game, and there's a lot of content too. I mean, I put a good few hours into it, got through two worlds, and I really feel like I still only scratched the surface of it.
Okay.
It's excellent, yeah. Excellent.
All right. Well, Ukulele.
Ukulele, there it is. So, I think it's only it's not a full price title either.
That helps. That does help.
So, you know, I could see it coming down to certainly well affordable levels later on, yeah, on a deal. I think it's going to fly under a lot of people's radar too. It's not going to generate the groundswell that.
Yeah, I think the reviews came in. They were pretty middling. Not like, oh my god, it's the greatest game in the world, but not it's the worst game in the world. But the game that actually launched right along with it was, I think it's called Snake Pass.
Yeah, they don't compare.
Oh, see, I'm really curious about Snake, though. I
have that.
Okay.
And no? It's not the same. It's not the same at all. Ukulele scratches that itch of being a platformer where you're running around and you're getting lots of abilities and you're exploring and jumping and gathering and collecting and fighting and running and meeting people and doing time trials and people sending you on errands. There's just a ton of stuff to do. Snake Pass is a colorful little, it's almost like a little puzzle platformer, and you've got this snake that you have to, one, learn to control.
Right.
And if you have the patience to do that, which I found rather quickly that I didn't, it's not in the same league at all. They shouldn't be mentioned. Okay. They shouldn't be mentioned in the same breath. You might like it, though. You might like Snake Pass. I'm not rubbishing it. I'm just saying it wasn't really for me.
Pretty much you are.
No.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of interested in Ukulele or Snake Pass. Well, Snake Pass is not at all like it.
No, yeah, it's not.
It's colorful, and it's a bit more basic. It's just like a little thing you play around with rather than a game.
It's I'm not going like to touch that, Robin. I'm not.
It's almost
go
like
there.
A snake simulator tech demo. I don't know. I don't want to rubbish it because it's polished and it's pretty clever the way they have you controlling that snake. But it just I want it to just run like you know like a dog let out in the park and you can't with the snake. You suddenly you're very constricted with the snake.
Oh,
snake well played.
And you have to tame that two-eyed snake. Not the one-eyed snake, the two-eyed snake. And as you learn you can learn to control the two-eyed snake after a while, and you can get it up in places you never thought you could before. Isn't that right, Fraser? Isn't that the way it works? As you
Kim
learn
Woods.
To control...
Kim, let's talk about what you've been playing.
Yes. I won't bore you with it all, because, you know... Hey,
don't let me bring it down.
You'll have plenty of time to bring the podcast down.
Sorry,
later.
Can we just talk a wee bit about your game again? Just a few people in the chat asking, Teflon's asking, you know, what is this game? So it's 100 people drops into a map. The map shrinks every 5 minutes or so, and the last man standing wins. So it's like the Hunger Games or Battle Royale.
Right.
And Teflon hasn't seen Battle Royale. It's the Japanese, the original Hunger Games.
Just think Hunger Games. Yeah.
But on a side note, watch Battle Royale. You'll enjoy it. It's good.
Right. Yeah, there's loot drops through the map when you start off. But basically every few minutes, I believe it is, Fraser, there's like a horn that sounds off, and basically the arena shrinks, and you have to get within the walls.
Yeah, basically you're on a massive island, and then you know you'll drop, and you'll have 5-10 minutes of collecting stuff, going to towns. You all start off in a plane, and you all drop at different points and gather up loot or whatever. You might land near some people, and straight away people are killing each other.
Right.
But after sort of 5 or 10 minutes or whatever it is, then they will announce a white circle on the map, and you have to get into that circle. Within a specific time, and if you're outside of that circle, you start to take damage, and then it progressively shrinks every sort of 5 minutes or whatever until it's you're forced into a final confrontation or whatever. So
it's
final
countdown. I'm back on form.
Yeah,
he ain't right. No anymore, is he?
Indeed, you are.
Did that do a worthy explanation for the chat?
Yeah. They're all quiet. There are fucking monkeys in there. They're not saying a word. Jesus Christ. What are they like in that chat? Jesus, meat sucks. Yeah.
All right, Kim.
Yes.
We started to talk about what you were playing. I know you haven't had a lot of time to play stuff, but you're continuing on the King's Quest.
Yeah, my goal this week was to actually finish it, but I ran into a problem. I'm doing the third chapter, and apparently when you get to the end, and I don't know, like a spoiler or not spoiler, but anyway, you've got to solve these puzzles in order to open the door. Well, I kind of am cheating with a walkthrough, kind of so I can figure out where all the achievements are, so you don't miss them. And right. So I did all the puzzles and all that the way the walkthrough said, and then when I went to hit the final door, there was another puzzle beside it, which apparently went back to another puzzle, which I already knew the answer for, so I went ahead and did it anyway. It glitched out, and the door locked, and I couldn't open it at the very end of the game. So I had to go back and start over on the third
cheating
chapter.
Cheating does not pay.
Yes.
Yeah. No, just the chapter three, so...
Oh.
So now I'm redoing chapter three. So hopefully next week I can knock King's Quest off the old, log and move on to something.
You wanted to say you log. You wanted to say it.
I did. So yeah, that's pretty much all I've been doing. Because like you said, I haven't really had time to do anything else with all the sanding and painting and recuperating. So
sanding, painting, recuperating, sanding, yeah. Painting, recuperating. All right.
That was pretty much the mantra for the week. Yeah. When you get old like me, but you need the recuperation.
I did some sanding and painting today.
Ah.
So here's my job that I did today. This might make you laugh anyway. So my wife's involved in planting some gardens or whatever, and they need 50 stakes
right
outside each of these little gardens that they're going to give to people, right? And every stake has to have a number on it. So 50 of these stakes that I had to paint numbers on today. So I bought these sheets of numbers, and I put them on a stake. One number one, and then I would spray it, and then take the one off, and then it was like Robin. Somebody mute him at some point. 50% of Robin needs to be muted. So I would spray paint these numbers, and then I would peel it off, and the number would be stenciled, right?
Right.
So I did 50 of these stakes, and I got towards the end, and I realized I'd done one of them, the number 33, twice. So I had to change 33 into a 49, and it wouldn't quite go with this. With it wasn't going to work. So I took this stick because everyone was good, and I thought, I've got to get this one perfect. So I went and I took it, and I spent time sanding off the paint that I'd done and getting it all ready. And I put it down, and I put my little numbers 4 and 9 on there, and I sprayed it and sprayed it, and it was like, this is great. I'm going to have my whole collection of stakes are done. They're all going to look nice. And I thought, I looked at it and went, maybe I'll just give it one last. Like, this is literally the last spray of my my spraying that I've. I'll just give it one last spray. And, and it knocked the 4 off and sprayed over the 4. And it's just this last one I did is the mankiest looking one. It's just spoiled the whole bat. Oh, God.
Oh, Fraser. This is great. Brilliant work. Fantastic. You know, excellent handiwork. A lot of thought put into this. But why on earth do you need stakes numbered 1 to 50?
Is it like a charity giveaway?
A runway?
Is that what's going
in the
on?
Back garden?
He's in this, did you not hear that first bit?
No, I see that.
Mango beer.
He's not listening. My wife is involved. She made a number of community gardens, 50 of them, and each one has to be staked with a number to identify whose garden is whose.
So is that like, what do you grow there? Cannabis or what is it? Or is it like...
I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry. It was my painting story, Kim. I apologize. I derailed.
What did you paint, Kim, today?
I didn't paint anything today. That was earlier in the week. So.
Oh.
Yep.
I painted a fire pit today. It was good.
Nice.
It was good. It's nice, dark gray. It looks really good.
This podcast just isn't what it used to be, is it?
No.
It just
like
isn't.
The home improvement.
Yes, home improvement show, the curling and bowling show. Audible podcast.
Cool time.
All right. Let's talk about what Robin and I have both been playing, which is Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yes.
Kim.
Yes.
Aren't you supposedly playing this as well?
Yeah, off and on. But like I said, I haven't had much time, so I didn't want to get... And I only have 10 hours, and I won't be able to afford to get it for a while because, you know, the whole year of living gamersly thing, and I'm trying to stick to that and whatnot.
Shit. Okay. All
right. Yeah. But if it goes on sale, I might have to splurge a little.
Yeah, so. I've gone off the reservation. I've completely gone off the reservation. I'm in deep trouble when it comes to the year of living universally. But let's talk about Mass Effect.
It goes on.
Mass Effect Andromeda continues on.
I've been playing again, a bit like Fraser. My time is very limited, and sometimes when I had a bit of time, I just threw myself in front of the telly. Work is very busy, but I had two really good sessions of Mass Effect this week, and I was on that Vloid world, which is Hoth. Okay, right. Snow world.
Let's just call it what it should have been, Hoth. We're on Hoth. I'm currently on Hoth as well, by the way.
Okay. Well, I'd finished 90%. I'd finished the main story part of it. I could move on quite happily. And I had a little bit of time and 20 minutes to sit and play. And I thought, I'll do a couple of these little side quests. And 4 hours later, I'm still on Hoth. And I came across these two side quests, which opened up massively. One's called Remove the Heart, which is you climb up. There's a big mountain, a big Ket, which are the baddies, a Ket base. It's a big, big mountain. And I get into my car, and I'm trying to work my way up into this mountain. And the story just opened up massively. It was fantastic adventure I had, because it didn't. I would have moved on and left it all behind. Sorry, Teflon tells me that Vloid is pronounced cold, except with a V. For cold?
Bold.
Bold.
Cold.
No, it's Vloid, Teflon.
Fuck it, it's
you're
Hoth.
Wrong.
It's Hoth. Hoth.
Yeah, it's Hoth.
Hoth. And we're fighting the stormtroopers, right?
So that was fun. And then the second one that I came across was this one, which was about missing people. Some people were missing. I had to go and find them. And I ended up fighting this thing called an architect, which is from some of the other games. And it was like a big snake in the sky, and it came down, and you had to dodge it. And you were in the cold, so you had to heat up every now and again, and ammo was a problem. And it was a big, massive battle. You had to shoot its legs off and shoot its head. It was brilliant. It was fantastic. It took me about 4 goes to get the bloody thing, but it was brilliant. Just... And the game is jank. It really is. Now and again, it is janky as hell, but it's just, it's great. It is brilliant. It plays into all those books that I'm listening to right now, this adventuring and finding things. For me, the bad stuff is those bloody monolith puzzles where you have to get the little pieces to match up and not have anything replicating. It's doing my nut in. I have to admit, I went to a cheat sheet for the last couple and fill the blanks in.
Oh yeah, Sudoku.
I can tell you right now, I'm going to apologize now. Batch, who is in the chat, has left us. I can see on Twitch he's gone off to watch Battleground streamer that I just recommended to him. So I'm sorry, I'm getting rid of our listeners. Sorry.
No, that's all right. Good.
Oh, that's a shame.
I mean, why would he want to? I mean, look, he had choices here. He could listen to the Home Improvement Audible Hour, or he could go watch video games,
yep. Or par.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying it. Yeah.
So Mass Effect, the one thing I want to comment on, and I won't take any more time talking about Mass Effect, because I know we've talked about it quite a bit over the past few podcasts, but I really like the mechanic they introduced on Hoth. Yeah, that's right. I said it, Hoth. Which is that the environment, the cold impacting you, and kind of like the way the radiation on the other planet, when you got too close to it, the radiation started to affect you. Here, you get outside of heat source range and you start to see it like your internal heat meter, if you will, is going down, and potentially you're going to take on damage if it gets too low. And I think that is a brilliant addition, specifically made, for this planet. It's not something you have to deal with on every situation or every planet. So I'm kind of glad it's not something you're going to have to deal with all the time. But, in certain situations, it comes into play and it makes sense. And I really very much liked it. In fact,
Fraser would be right at home in Hoth. He really would.
True. He lives in Hoth, by the way.
He could handle it. Okay.
He's currently in the Rebel base on Hoth. That's
so
where he might guess.
I've been rocking Kara and my Krogan buddy. They're my two sort of characters that have been going down in my away missions. And the big Krogan's very, very funny. I like that. Yeah.
I recently switched the Krogan in. Kara had been a mainstay in my team. I switched her out, and right now I've got Phoebe and the Krogan.
Yeah, she's quirky.
She is quirky. Yes. Yeah. She lives up to Phoebe. She's kind of like Phoebe in Friends, by the way. I think they're very similar in personalities.
Oh. Smelly cat, smelly cat. Very,
yes. Absolutely. So, outside of that, Robin, anything else that you played?
I have a new game. Well, I don't have a new game. My young bud, Corey, who had his birthday today, has a new game. And it's I haven't played it yet. It's still in the wrapper because he's been busy today. But tomorrow, we are going to unwrap Mario Kart 8 Deluxe for the Switch.
So I've heard it is a great port.
So he got it for a birthday present today.
Nice.
Fraser, you muted? You muted, Fraser?
Yeah, he's muted.
That's better.
I almost liked it better when he wasn't. Yeah, he was muted. It was how he was.
So I managed to get it for 24.9 pence. Which was pretty good deal for him. So.
Ooh. Right.
So I'm going to play some Mario Kart tomorrow.
Who's this game for again?
Robin? Me.
Okay.
No, him, because they're not allowed to touch the Switch unless I'm around.
So I expect this is going to be coming off your budget.
No, it's a birthday present for one of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Greg, don't worry. You and I can play Mario Kart on the ferry.
You know what? I will play a better racing game than Mario Kart. I will play Forza Horizon 3.
Oh.
Because that has been my jam of late as well. I dove into that.
Here is the fucking news.
No, not yet.
Oh, right. Okay.
Not yet. Just I saw the news, and that inspired me to play some Forza Horizon 3. So I dabbled a little Forza Horizon 3.
I was not quite accurate. You talked about the Hot Wheels, and I thought, yeah, I have that stuff already, but I don't. They released some Hot Wheels cars 6 or 8 months ago, which was part of the VIP pack, but I didn't realize that this beauty that is coming, the original Orange Kitties Hot Wheels tracks with Forza Horizon 3 cars on, is just going to be awesome fun.
Any in-game?
Yes, they had a trailer. So there was some in-game footage. We'll dive into that in a minute,
You're going to talk about it later, are you? You're going to talk about it?
Yeah, it's in our news.
All right, talk about it later. Okay. Here's the fucking news.
Not yet. Okay. What we're going to talk about right now is the Prey demo that came out.
Oh,
so yes. I played the Prey demo.
Are there butt doors?
No butt doors. the Prey demo, it's out free for anybody pretty much. It's on Steam. It's on PS4. It's on Xbox One. So if you're at all interested, go check it out. This very much reminds me of BioShock in a lot of ways. It has the feeling because it's got that kind of horror element to it. So you're adventuring forward in the demo, and you are encountering, this alien life form or this alien species, but they can take the form of any object, and they have basically matched the music tension. So anytime there is an alien within, striking distance of you, the music pitches up considerably. So you know there's an alien around. And it
could be a lipstick.
It could be a lipstick. It could be a coffee cup. It could be a chair. So you immediately start looking at every object around you, wondering what it is. And then every once in a while, you'll hear, they'll do like a dramatic pitch. And so you know the alien has probably come out of its hiding somewhere. And so there's been a couple times where I've turned around and suddenly I noticed that the garbage can that was behind me, suddenly there's two garbage cans near one another. And so now suddenly you know the alien is one of those garbage cans. So you walk forward, and as soon as you get close to it, it untransforms and attacks you. And so
it's a Red Dwarf episode?
Probably.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the guy from Sesame Street that lives in the bin. What's his name?
Oscar the Grouch.
Oscar, yeah. Oh, is it like if Oscar came out, quite that would be a game. What do you want?
Yeah. But so – I'm pretty high on Prey right now. I think it's shaping up to be a pretty good game. I think it could be, you know, we've been talking about for years what's going to be the next BioShock. To me, I think Prey really is primed to be that next BioShock. I don't think a lot of people are really putting this on their radar, so I think it's going to come in relatively under the radar, you know, kind of sneak out to the marketplace, and people are going to start just singing its praises. And it's probably going to be a hit.
Prey.
That's my take. But yeah, so good stuff. And you know, voice acting all seems really well done. Graphically, it looks nice. Nothing really negative to say through the demo. Check it out. Kind. You can make your own formed decision. Prey, it's out right now. So,
Prey. All right. Download site near new. Download now on Xbox and PlayStation.
Now, right. Rich, if you would be so kind, we have a jingle for the news. I don't even know if Rich is still here. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Here is the fucking news.
All right. So news. Fraser, thank you, by the way, for helping me out with some of the news stories.
I tried. I'm not very good at it, but I tried to put a couple of things in there.
You got a big one here. So a new Nintendo handheld. This actually was surprising to me. Okay, first of all, it's not really that new. It's a 2DS XL. So kind of what they did with the 3DS, they're doing that with the 2DS. It's now got the clamshell design. It's going to go on sale in July for $150.
I was surprised by it, mainly in the fact that I think it's great. But I didn't see it coming at all. Nintendo have this incredible ability to pull one out of left field. I have purchased a lot of Nintendo handhelds, but I've stayed away from the 3DS XLs because of price. We bought the kids 2DSs because the price point was good, plus they were pretty robust. I have a whole drawer full of DSs that have busted hinges.
Right.
So there's a little bit of back and forth on the release of this 2DS. People are saying it doesn't fulfill what they think it should do because it's now got a hinge on it. But a lot of people, and I'm in that camp, say, well, now there's a DS. It's got rid of the expensive 3D. Their 3D technology is pretty expensive.
Right, right. But so it now, works. It does work.
It does work, and it's very clever. So about a couple of months ago, a month ago, my son's 2DS busted. So we bought a secondhand 3DS, and that was the first time I'd seen the 3D function. It's very cool. It's very, very clever. It's very cool, and it was very, very neat for a few days. And right. now I can live without it. So the 2DS that they've released now is a nice big screen. It's got the new Nintendo function. So it's got that little nub on the top, and it'll run some of the software, the newer Nintendo Shop software, like SNES games right. and things like that.
When it does shop, it ships with two games, Miitopia and Hey Pikmin.
Right. Okay, so that's good. And the price seems to be far more reasonable. Big screens. I think they're onto something very clever again. I think it'll sell a bucket load.
I would agree, except for they just released this thing called the Switch. So,
they're
competing.
The Switch is not for kids.
They're not competing. They're not competing.
I beg to differ with you, Robin. The Switch is completely for kids. Have you seen the size of those little controllers?
I do, and they're quite workable. You know, are quite workable. But you drop one of these things here, it'll survive. You drop a Switch, it won't. No way will the Switch survive a bump on the floor.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I was very surprised to see this announcement.
Yes, it's got a camera. There's a camera.
I don't think it's not. Look. your DM.
Come on.
Like, where
get
I
it out. That's
right?
It.
Okay, look. Look, you know what, Greg? You're going to go, you're Freedom Land down there. You're going to walk down to the shop and you can get your 2DS for $150. You're in. You got two games, you're on. You've probably got a DS library spanning back 3 or 4 years. You can plug all that stuff in. Great. You're away to the races, right? The Switch. You're going down there before you've even started. You've got to drop $300 on the thing. You've got to now put into a game which is $400. You now need a pro controller. You're up to $500. You need another $100 for another game. Oh wait, there are no more other games. So you know, it's not the same thing.
Cash rules everything around me. Dollar dollar bill, yo.
It is dollar dollar bill, yo.
No, I guess I see your point, Fraser. I do see your point.
Kids are going to be flying off to school with Nintendo DSs in their bags like they have been already. They are not going off. They are not going to school with a Switch in their bag.
Oh, they may. It's portable, you know.
No.
I'll tell you what. Again, why don't you go buy a Switch, drop your $400 on a Switch and a Super Mario Kart and give it to your son and let him go off to wherever he...
You have kids like I have. I like the clamshell idea. The screen could be protected. I never got the 2DS thing that was big and the screen could be scratched. I like the clamshell thing.
My kids came in the car with me today. We went driving around town. Both of them sat in the back scribbling away on their DSs. Both of them, each one each, no problem at all. Switch is never going to happen.
Right.
There you go.
All right.
You're
Switch on. Is no. never going to happen. You hear us, Nintendo. Switch never going to happen.
Switch is happening, but I'm not saying it's never going to happen. Don't twist my words, DeLacy. You know what I'm saying. It's a different price point. It's a different product.
Yes.
Totally different product.
I hear you. I mean, both portable. I'm just going to throw that out there. But yeah, no, I get it. I get it. Don't hate me, Internet. I get it. All right. Overwatch. The player base has swelled past the 30 million mark. That's amazing and impressive for a brand new IP.
Blizzard.
Yeah. they're crushing it. Blizzard is just killing it. In August, I guess there was supposedly – so if we go by the timeline here, August they had reported 15 million players. In October, less than 5 months after launch, the figure had reached 20 million. Late January, 25 million and now reportedly past 30 million. That's impressive growth for
it's
a game
monster,
now.
Eh?
Yeah, it's crazy. It is, it's rivaling any of the big shooters out there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I've got Paladins downloaded. I want to try Paladins. I hear it's a pretty good Overwatch clone.
Yeah, in fact, I would actually be really curious to see where Call of Duty and Battlefield stack up against Overwatch, because I would maybe think maybe Overwatch is beating them out. So
I'd agree with that. Certainly sounds like it anyway.
Yeah, I don't recall hearing any of the Battlefield numbers approaching 30 million, nor Call of Duty. I mean, in the past, Call of Duty's gotten close, but of late, I think they've been struggling. So we'll see. But hey, speaking of Call of Duty. Call of Duty World War II. Or sorry, Call of Duty WWII. That's a thing. Officially announced last weekend. Or this past week, actually, it was on the 26th. The video came out, the trailer. Yes, Fraser, you may speak.
Being someone who frequents Twitch quite a lot at the moment, a good indicator of how games are doing might be just looking on the front page, because looking at the front page, you have League of Legends Counter-Strike for shooters anyway. League of Legends Counter-Strike, Battlegrounds, Overwatch, and there is no sign... you have to go down a bit. You go down quite a way. Destiny is there before anyone else. And this I'm going good. Down. I'm not seeing. I'm sorry. That's bad radio. But what I'm just saying is that, yeah, I think you're right. It's Overwatch is gangbusters.
Yes. It is a huge tribute to Blizzard. And
Blizzard!
You know, I have not dabbled in Overwatch. I've stayed away from it. But... who knows? You know, this is one of those games where you can start playing at any point in time and know there's going to be a player base. Now, you're probably going to get your ass kicked, but there's at least a player base still playing it.
Speak for yourself. I got mad skills.
Oh, sorry. Mad skills. Call of Duty World War II, that was announced. It's coming out November 3rd. They did say that there was going to be a beta that's going to be taking place beforehand. And they're pretty – I mean, that's, I think, stock trade now for Activision. They put forward a beta as basically a demo.
It's actually marked as a private beta.
Private beta.
So, yeah.
Private beta that you can – Yeah.
When you finish the private beta, you become Lieutenant Beta. So,
yeah.
Oh!
Nice. Nice.
I'm annoyed.
So the game will be shipping again.
Don't forget to tip your waiter.
Yes, no.
Because it's about the bloody Americans again. I mean, about largely takes place in Europe in 1944. Where were you when the war started?
Robin, don't even. He's going to lose. Al Murray's joined the podcast.
Robin.
You're not in a fight from the beginning, son. You're not in a fight at all.
Yeah. Jeez. Cheers.
Jesus.
No, Jesus wasn't. But he was on our side.
It is clear. It is absolutely abundantly clear that if we had not stepped in, Robin, you currently would be saying Heil Hitler.
Yeah. There you go. That's going to happen soon, anyway. Adele Hitler gets in and flipping Germany next time.
Hey, your military was not exactly, you know, kicking ass at the time. There was some struggles happening.
The Canadians were in the war before you guys.
My wife is shaking her head, going, "What on earth?" They go, "What?"
I know. We just talk about every random thing we can.
Wild tangents are us.
Yes. All right. Anyway, so, okay, back to America Saving the Day, Call of Duty.
We really need to get down the pub, don't we?
Yes, we do. I really need a drink. Campaign, multiplayer, co-op, all confirmed. The co-op is actually a separate story. It is, again, though, the zombie mode, basically. So it's going to be Nazi zombies. It'll be interesting to compare this game up to the Nazi zombie trilogy game that came out.
Don't you feel sorry for the Nazis? Always being
they're not
zombies.
The same at all, are they? I don't know.
That's zombies why I said it would be interesting to compare.
I mean, Zombie Army Trilogy is a good game, but a lot of people will know that I love that game. I think Call of Duty Zombies is a little bit of a different animal.
Normally I would say yes, but they said there's an actual co-op campaign this time.
Oh, okay.
So,
if you're in Germany, I mean, is it not uncomfortable playing Nazi zombies? I mean, do they change it to, I don't know, Canadian zombies in Germany? Or, I mean, what do they do? I mean,
Canadian zombies won't kill you. I mean, they'll invite you in, come around for a barbecue.
I mean, seriously, but in Germany, you know, you must be fed up with the friggin' Nazis again. You know, does it sell really well in Germany?
I don't even know if it gets sold in Germany, because I know that they have certain laws against even, like, mentioning or bringing up the Nazis.
You know, don't bring up the war.
Yeah.
Guys, you know...
Yes.
Because I'm like...
God? What?
You did it first. You invaded Poland.
Because I delve into the depths of, like, 4chan and Reddit and, like, weird politics stuff.
Oh, dear.
Right, weird politics stuff, right? You know, German, like, politicians are, like, the way they treat their, like, kids, it's like a guilt trip type thing. You know, you can't have nationalism in Germany because it's like, oh, it might be fascist. But there was this kid... It was a YouTube comment, right? And he said, I don't know why, but it was hilarious to me. He said that history class in a German high school, you start off and, like, they teach you the normal stuff. This is what he said. They teach you normal stuff like Romans and that. And then it's a 4-year guilt trip. I just thought that was really funny.
Dear.
Yeah, no. We have a few of those kind of guilt trips. That's our Vietnam era.
The voice of God.
Pretty much, yeah. All right. So Call of Duty World War II, it's a thing. It proved out to be real. It's going to be, you know, taking place in the European theater between 1944 and 1945. They talked about diversity. I think what they're trying to go for. I think they're going to start to show some of the more horrific sides to the war. So I think we might see some of the death camps. I think we might go that that route this time around. I think that's topics they've traditionally avoided in most World War II games. So
now I hear they're going to bring in some racism in it. When a squad comes across some African American squads, that they're a bit racist towards them, and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah,
I mean, it'd be interesting to see how they handle it. You know, if done right, it could be good.
Shoot people in the face. That's all it is.
Or there's that tactic.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Irish. all right. Some quick news bits. I think this got covered last week, but if it didn't, just in case. The Games for Gold May titles were released. Was it covered last week, Robin?
I don't know. I wasn't on the show last week.
Good point. You weren't. Fuck, I lose track of time.
Yeah,
I was thinking last week was when you were sick.
No.
Last week I was on the podcast. Go figure.
Yeah, you were. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you did talk about it briefly, but the stuff you're going to talk about, the Game of Gold, the Guyana Sisters Twisted Dreams, there's a great history with the Guyana Sisters. Fantastic and really, really interesting history. The first game, the Great Guyana Sisters, came out. It was about 1987 on the Commodore 64.
That's right. And it was a long time ago.
Yeah, and it was almost identical to Super Mario Brothers. I mean, really identical to the first level was almost pixel for pixel, and it was taken off the shelves within about 2 or 3 months of its sales because there was all this talk about Nintendo were going to take them to court. There was never actually a court case, but Nintendo put pressure on them, and they were going to threatening a court case, but it never actually happened, and they took it off the shelves. I had it. I thought it was great. But it's now, because of that, it's become a real collector's item because it was a very short release. It got great reviews, but if you looked at it and you were to look it up, it is almost identical to Super Mario Brothers.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Thank you. I will echo Kim's Yeah, I don't know if you're bullshitting, Robin, or
honestly, you got Fraser's
bag in there. That's true.
No, he's
true. All right. That's true.
Okay.
I mean, right.
I feel learned now. I learned something.
Knowledge is power.
It is.
Yeah.
So Guyana Sisters Twisted Dreams. That's going to be available all month long. Lara Croft Temple of Osiris available from May 16th through June 15th.
That's
Star
fun.
Wars: The Force Unleashed 2 available May 1st through the 15th.
Good.
And then Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga, the 16th through the 31st. And now that I'm saying these things, I'm almost positive we covered this last week. But
we did.
You heard it again. What you didn't hear last week is that Forza Horizon 3 is coming out with some new DLC. And that DLC is an expansion pack. Just ignoring him. It's an expansion pack for Hot Wheels.
Don't put me in a corner, Greg.
No one puts BB in the corner.
So for $20, you can get this new expansion. It includes 10 new cars, a new campaign, which I thought was interesting, and it is basically taking some islands supposedly off the coast of Australia, and they've built out these crazy Hot Wheels tracks all throughout the island, and it comes with an editor that you can go in and create your own Hot Wheel tracks. This sounds amazing. It looks amazing. Go check out the trailer if you haven't seen it already. It looks phenomenal. And I am definitely going to have to – I think buy the season pass, by the way, includes this. So if you have the season pass, you'll get this. Ooh, but cool. You can buy it standalone.
Great graphics. My only orange is really good in it. My only thing about this is, can you imagine doing that big loop-de-loop thing in the Hot Wheels tracks? Well,
yeah.
Forza Horizon cars are hard enough. You know, you have to stay on that track. So I know the trailer looks fantastic and all the drivers are driving really well, but it should be a bit of a mess when we all get into it, but it looks lots of fun.
The tracks, unlike a real Hot Wheel track, which is just wide enough to fit the car on it, this Hot Wheel track, it looks like it's about three cars in width. So,
right. I used to have a class one night. We sort of went through down the stairs into the living room into the kitchen and up through the tables. And
love the Hot Wheels.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
All right.
And do you remember when you had those, the little cars and you opened the doors and that automatically made them fly? That was cool.
Didn't happen.
It did.
No, but Danger Zone is happening. That game is coming out to the PS4 and Steam, and it's coming out next month. This is the former developers behind Burnout Paradise. So those of you who liked the crash mode, and if you played Dangerous Golf this year, you kind of got a sneak peek at what this was going to be, because that was the same developer. Basically, they're bringing out Crash Mode from Burnout Paradise. That's exactly what this game is. Danger Zone, it's Crash Mode, and it's going to be $12.99 in the U.S., and it's on Steam and PS4 for now. I imagine at some point, kind of like what they did with Dangerous Golf, they'll bring out an Xbox One version, but who knows?
There's no points for second place.
There's no points for second place. It is literally just Crash Mode. That is all that this game is, so...
Will there be a highway to the Danger Zone?
No highway to the Danger Zone.
Nice.
Thank you.
I hate it when she does that. She's lost that loving feeling again. You mean right here on the counter, right now?
Moving on.
I think I need another shower.
No more beer for you, Robin. No more mango
volleyball.
Beer. Makes you crazy.
Yay, volleyball.
Hey. Microsoft is having a hardware event on May 2nd. Nobody knows what it is. They have said that it is not expected to be a Surface event, so obviously this could very well be a Scorpio reveal.
Greg, it's about
or I should say reveal.
It's a hardware event. Hardware. It's about hardware. You say nobody knows what it's about. It's about hardware.
Yes, Robin. Yes, it is about hardware.
Yes.
So we don't know. It might not be Xbox.
It might not be. It might be like a new phone. God forbid they do that.
The Surface stuff is pretty important to them right now. So
it is, but it's not going to be about... The one thing we know is it's not a Surface event. So we'll see. We'll see what it is in just a few days.
Okay.
Maybe it's HoloLens.
Maybe. Because it is suspiciously VR. Coming out right before they're having their developers conference on May 10th. So whatever this is, I have to think this is going to play a part of that.
Aren't they? Haven't we had the rumor though that Microsoft is picking up one of the VR brands?
I don't think we've had a rumor about the VR brand.
No, there's a partnership with Oculus, but they are bringing out their own sort of cheaper version.
Well, they did a partnership with AMD as well. So
yeah, late to the party. Yeah.
Well, I think Microsoft's plan is to support pretty much everything. They don't want to get behind one VR, headset. They want to just kind of support everything.
Really good set of support pants.
Yeah, yep. And by the way, I don't think they're late to the party because the party really still hasn't started for VR.
Well, it hasn't, and I think it's very interesting you say that they won't commit to one particular VR set, which is probably pretty smart because – you would suspect at some point there has to be some sort of meeting in the middle where it doesn't matter what headset you have, the input feeds are the same to direct the software, right? So, it'll be interesting. I think it's very early days for sure.
Well, absolutely. And I think, Fraser, you actually bring up a really good point, which is VR is still trying to figure out if it's going to be a universal platform or if it's going to treat itself kind of like consoles, where each VR headset has its own software, its own store, and it's its own thing. Burr. And to be honest, I think if they go that route where everybody's kind of in a walled-off garden, I think that hurts VR more than it helps VR.
See this here? See what I'm doing right now?
Yes.
I'm lifting my glasses. See when I do this here? That's when VR becomes really good. When they get up to that point there, that it's wireless and it's like a pair of glasses, that's when VR will take off.
Mm. Right.
Not when it's a headset with cables and crap. And when it's that, when it's a pair of sunglasses or with lenses in them, that's when it goes. The technology is good, but it ain't there yet.
Yep. And all the TV makers said the same thing about 3D. When we just get it to be glasses that you can take on and off.
Yeah, but that was crap because that was an experience where you sat down and watched, not interacting with it. The gaming thing is a bit more solo, so I think that it would be acceptable to have a peripheral that was very small.
Right.
This, like glasses size. So.
Well, I think for sure VR has to get to a wireless stage before it's really going to have a chance at being mainstream. I think people are absolutely not really open to the idea of being wired to something and then having somebody tell you that you've got all these wires hanging off you and, can you move around the room? You know, don't step on the wires, mind you. But, you know, it still has a ways to go. It really does.
I've patented the idea of these glasses.
No, you
do. They're called Paddy VR, so it'll work very well. They'll be the best glasses. We have the best VR. I promise you we'll build a wall.
You know what we have? We have the best podcast trivia. Ooh. And, Rich, we have a jingle thanks to Foo. I don't even know if Rich is still with us. He might not be. He might be asleep.
Where's the fucking jingle?
Maybe we don't have a jingle? You know.
That might be the new jingle. Where's the fucking jingle?
G40E shit.
Don't worry about it. Rich, your announcement there was perfectly placed. That's the new jingle.
Okay, cool. Sweet.
All right, now everybody get settled. Get away from the windows. Now look, good. It's time for the quiz. Yeah, you know what? Oh, too bad. Tough.
All right. We have some team names. This is exciting for me. So podcast trivia. Basically, each week, Jason Johnson, our lovely Jason Johnson, sends us in two trivia questions, usually dealing with video game stuff, sometimes dealing with our extracurricular activities within video gaming, but it's all wrapped around video gaming, and we thank him for that. And so there are multiple choice questions. If you're listening at home, you can play along. Just don't shout out the answer. You don't want to give the things away.
You see that Robin has nicknamed Kim the murdering animal killer. Now,
yes,
I'm no English major, but doesn't that imply that Kim is actually ridding the world of murdering animals?
Yes,
animals
she
that
is.
Commit murder.
No. She's murdering animal killers. So basically, Kim is PETA. And we have Robin the Almighty, Bruce Almighty, and then Fraser the Fantastic.
Oh.
Clearly, yeah, it's like a glove. All right. And a quick recap, because last week Kim got a point, Mark got a point, Nicole's still comfortably in the lead, but this is an opportunity, Kim. You are down basically 3 points, as well as Robin. Both of you down 3 points to Nicole. Fraser, you're down 4, but 2 points on the line this week. You could close that gap considerably. Here we go. And also Jason sent in a quick little note. So I'm going to read the whole thing and then get into the trivia. I said, hey, OZ crew, I was going to leave a speak pipe, but my headset microphone is giving me problems. So I decided just to include this message in the trivia email. Anyway, enough of my problems. I wanted to just say I am so proud of Nicole and Kim for jumping on the Mass Effect Andromeda train. It is a great adventure, and I hope they enjoy the ride. Also, let me just drop a little note here to say that the whole crew does a great job every week, and we all very much appreciate the time and effort you put into making a great show. Thanks for all you do. No, thank you. We really do appreciate you, Jason. You put in tireless hours thinking up of these trivia questions, and we do appreciate it. He did throw in a special PS shout out to Gary and Courtney DeLever. Yes, you heard that right. Gary and Courtney DeLever. Hope things get better for you guys. They've had a bit of a rough patch. So we wish you guys well.
Yep.
If you want something to bring you up out of your doldrums, podcast trivia. Possibly. That's what might do it. First question, here we go. Which platform has not received a Call of Duty game? Which platform has not received a Call of Duty game? Is it A?
Switch.
Is it A, the Nokia N-Gage? B, the Wii U? C, the PSP? Or D, the Nintendo 3DS? Which of these platforms has not received a Call of Duty game?
Oh, it's a great question.
It is a great question. It really is. A, Nokia N-Gage. B, the Wii U. C, the PSP. Or D, the Nintendo 3DS. I will ask you to give me your answers in 3, 2, 1.
Sorry, can you say the answers again?
Oh, look at that.
Jesus, I don't know which first anymore.
I know which one I want, but I can't remember.
A, Nokia N-Gage. B, Wii U. C, PSP. Or D, 3DS.
Okay, it's good. I think it's B.
Okay, so Fraser has said B. Robin has gone with D. Penis. And Kim, the murderer, animal killer, also has gone with D. I can tell you there is a correct answer on the board, and there is an incorrect answer on the board. The correct answer goes to the current second-place holders. Robin and Kim both get it right. The Nintendo 3DS.
That's you get cheating Canada.
Yes.
Cheating Canada. I think it's quite obvious I wasn't cheating. More bloody obvious I wasn't cheating if I tried.
Bloody. Don't bloody me. Don't you raise your voice at me, boy.
Well,
oh, here we go. It's getting ugly.
All right, fellas.
It's getting ugly. Nintendo 3DS. A Call of Duty game was released on the original DS, but it has not been released for the 3DS incarnation.
I'm racking my brains. N-Gage, I could believe.
Right.
That surprised me. Some janky piece of nonsense on that. But I can't, for the life of me, remember anything on the Wii U.
Yeah, I knew it was either going to be Wii U or 3DS. It had to be one of those two.
Sweet. No, I'm not going to put a Call of Duty game on a kid's console like a 3DS. Nah. They'll put Japanese porn on it, but not Call of Duty.
They put one on the DS. So,
All right. There you go.
Well done, Robin and Kim.
Damn.
All right. Next question. Here we go.
I'm just going to alter this spreadsheet.
I've
tried that.
Doesn't work.
Why the hell do you spell Almighty?
Very carefully.
All right. Next question. What is the name of the protagonist in FIFA 17, the Journey story mode?
Damn.
Is the name of the protagonist in FIFA 17, The Journey story mode? Is it A, Jordan Riley, B, Alex Hunter, C, Matthew Donnell, or D, Mark Wright? And I suppose I should be saying this in the proper accent. Is it A, Jordan Riley, B, Alex Hunter,
wow,
C, Matthew Donnell?
Make him stop.
Or D, Mark Wright.
What the fuck was that?
What was the question? I missed the question. So I was looking up Call of Duty games on Wii U, and they released Ghosts and Black Ops 2 on the Wii U.
You were wrong.
I know, but I don't. Well, I ain't happy about it.
Believe us.
I'm not doubting the answer. I just want to know where I got it wrong. How did I get it
wrong? Stay away from the Google.
All right. What is the name of the protagonist in FIFA 17 Journey story mode?
Oh, God.
Is it A, Jordan Riley, B, Alex Hunter, C, Matthew Donnell, or D, Mark Wright? I will not give you the accents again, I promise.
Darn.
Go on.
All right. A, Jordan Riley, B, Alex Hunter, C, Matthew Donnell, or D, Mark Wright? Please give me your answers in 3, 2, 1. All right. We have two different answers once again. Let's see if anybody has gotten it right. I can safely say that there is a correct answer on the board. Huh. Both Fraser and Robin have gone with B for Belland. And Kim has gone with A for Apple. Of course, it's going to go to the Bellens.
Nice.
It is Alex Hunter. Well done, Robin and Fraser.
Yeah. Nicole, I'm at your back door. And that's not what I mean to say, really.
That's all what she wanted to hear. But yeah, Robin, done. Robin gets 2 points this week. Kim with a nice single-point pickup. And Fraser, you also get a single-point pickup.
I'll take a point.
Yeah. How can you not love taking a point? So that puts Robin literally on Nicole's backside. 7 points now, Robin. Just one shy. Yeah, yeah. And maybe you can sneak onto the show next week because I hear that Fraser is hosting next week. So it would be a golden opportunity to try and get some more points. Also, Kim, that would be a good opportunity for you. Not so much for you, Fraser.
Would you kindly?
Would you kindly? All right, let's move on. Let us get to the new releases this week. Kim,
yes.
This is a massive list of games.
Gigantic, I'm telling you. Here are your new releases for April 29th through May 5th. And we have... yeah, right. We have Prey for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC. And those are
that's
releases
actually,
for May 5th.
That's actually coming out?
Yes. Yes.
So they had. Oh, okay. I thought it was a way away. Did anybody actually play the original?
Yes,
I did.
Yep. Yep. I could not get on with it. The whole going upside down business threw me for a loop. I hated it.
It had potential.
It did have potential. But once they put me upside down, I felt lost.
The doors looked like we were going through closed anuses. It really was.
It was a pretty rough graphical.
It was all right. Yeah. It was ahead of its time, and the technology wasn't capable. So,
true.
There you go.
Also true. So I'm sure there's going to be a few more games on the release calendar for next week, but unfortunately nothing of note. So we use Game Informer, full disclosure. That's where we pull our new release list from, and they just had the one. So there you go. May 5th, Prey. We've covered the monthly freebies, so let's just get into this year of living Gamedrously. I think we have...
No, don't fucking play that anymore. Jesus, don't play that thing anymore. Don't, Christ. No, look, if you're not in it, tough titty.
If you don't know what it is by now, where on earth have you
been? Jesus Christ. If I'm getting tired of it...
if Robin's getting tired of it, he damn well knows that we're tired of it.
Yeah, so look, I'll just go through Victory Achieved. Victory Achieved is a competition that we run every quarter. When you finish a game, we like you to finish your games. You take a selfie of yourself with the credits in the background and you tweet that off to @OC_podcast with the hashtag Victory Achieved. If you're one of the U-loggers, you're doing your Dirty 30, put the hashtag YOLG on it. Now, that little competition, it runs at the moment from the 1st of April to the 30th of June, and you win money, $20 or £15 plus 5, minus 5, whatever it is, for anything you want, PSN, XBL, Steam, or Nintendux. And we had a shorter list of people completing games this week, and... Dastardly Jabby, he finished Velocity 2X for his U-Log. Mark Alex finished a Mass Effect Andromeda.
Heard he was deeply disappointed.
Yeah, I think so.
Not true.
Green, red, or blue.
He loved it.
Ghost Recon Wildlands with Jay Nizzy. Pilch Reed finished Rise, Son of Rome. Terraform finished Forza Horizon 3. And those random games that were finished, not in the logs, Colin All Cars, the winner of the last competition, he finished Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Pilch Reed finished the funniest game this week, Tennis in the Face. Oh, Pilch. And Mr. Miyagi finished the Dead Island Definitive Edition, and he loved it, apart from the really bad Australian accents. He would be a good judge of Australian accents, but
Right. We thought they were fantastic. You all sound like that in the Barbie. I thought it's not a stake on the Barbie.
And I get in trouble for my...
No,
my...
whoa, don't. We haven't let him off yet, Greg. Just give me a second.
Yeah.
Please don't ever do that again, Robin.
On the Barbie?
No. Hey, you know what? It's, real quickly, Rise, Son of Rome.
Is it
I
good
really
game?
Liked that game. The biggest flaw, and it was a massive big flaw with that game, was the fact that the character creators, the developers that were in charge of creating the different characters for that game, apparently stopped after three. Yeah.
Yeah. If there had been another four or five baddies in it, it would have been really good.
Yeah, or even just different hats. Something. Hmm. Just make them look different.
Yeah, well... Yeah, you want to get ahead, get a hat.
Yep.
Yeah, because apart from that, graphically it was good, the gameplay was good, the story was good, and it was men in skirts. What's not to like?
I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
All right, we're at that time. It is at that time where we have more or less, we've done a show.
So yeah, somebody was happy about that.
There should be a lot of people that would be happy about this right about now. So here's the deal. Robin?
Yeah?
We have not yet received a new version of Charlie Bopp's closing notes.
Yeah, with insert name here. Yeah, I know. I'll maybe get it done tomorrow. It's a bank holiday weekend here. Do you have a bank holiday weekend for May Day, Monday? No?
No.
Oh, well.
We
civilized
what we have, what we have on Monday is called work.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't.
But the fifth, we also don't have a holiday, but we will drink like fish on the fifth because we embrace our Mexican brothers and celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
Salt of the day. Salt of the Mayo. What is it? Cinco de Mayo?
Cinco de Mayo, yes.
Is that with all the skulls and stuff? No, is that the one?
No, that's Day of the Dead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo is a celebration of Mexican independence, although I believe I'm almost positive it's actually not on the correct day, but we don't care. Corona has made it a holiday.
Speaking of which, Better Call Saul has started to get really good, this new series. Ooh, episode 3 is now starting to get brilliant again. So Better Call Saul, recommendation. Watch that, bitches. Yep.
And Fargo. Fargo season 3 started back up.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Lots to watch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You betcha.
Argo.
Oh, yeah.
You betcha. Oh, yeah.
All right. If you ever...
Oh, heck.
Again.
Oh, heck. Yeah.
Okay.
Brilliant. The voice of God. Okay.
The voice of God. Metaphor.
Do you know what? There's nothing like a grown-ass man sitting around watching Fargo practicing his Minnesota accent.
I did that. I really did that. I swear to God. It was not. I was going to try and do a podcast with a Minnesota accent. It didn't go well. It's about as bad as my English accent.
I destroy most Canadian is one I just can't get my head around whatsoever. I can't oot because Fraser's he said a few things tonight which have been very Canadian, and I just can't get my chops around it at all.
Well, if you just throw in an A.
Yeah, just throw in an A, and that's probably how's it going, eh?
Good, eh?
A.
Yeah.
A.
Yeah, eh?
No okay. way, eh?
We're going to move along, eh?
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
Be part of the show.
Take
be part of the conversation every Saturday. twitch.tv/OC podcast. Also on Beam. Also on YouTube. 11 p.m. UK. 3 p.m. on the West Coast. And if you're stuck in the middle on the East Coast, 6 p.m. your time. You can email the show like Jason Johnson did. Send lovely trivia if you want. We'll take other people's trivia, but we really would love to hear from you. podcast@ocpod.com. You can tweet us. We're pretty responsive. I should say we. I say we. That's really Robin. Robin, you are our tweet master. That is @OC_podcast. We have a Facebook group. That's where Kim hangs out. She's a Facebook stalker, just for a warning. fb.ocpod.com. But, you know, reach out to her on Facebook. Ask her how to cook up a raccoon. She'll let you know. She's got a few different recipes. iTunes and Stitcher, we're on there. We would love reviews because, of course, the more reviews we get, the easier it is for other people to find us. And lastly, and most importantly, we have a lot of clubs on a lot of different video game consoles. So if you are on the Xbox One, we have a club called OC Podcast Club. If you're on the PS4, we have a club called OC Podcast Community. Not really a club, it's a community, but they're similar yet different. On Steam, we have a group different from a community or a club. That's called OC Podcast, all one word, group. And then on Discord, because Discord is a thing that we do. We do everything. In Discord, just look for our OC Podcast server, and you can join Discord. Yes. All right. I hear margaritas are blending in the background.
Ooh,
oh, I thought it was rain. I thought it was rain a second ago there.
No, that is the margarita firing machine. Yeah.
Wife is brilliant. I can't wait to drink margaritas with you because we don't drink them at all.
Oh, we're definitely having margaritas when you come out. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I can see we send the girls to bed and we'll chat to the wee small hours.
Oh, yeah. There will be some hangovers for your next day trip.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's wrap this show up. Kim, any shout-outs for you?
We have our shatters over here. We have Baron Von Glauer, Batch, Faye Gwent, Cussigan5, RCGC, and Teflon12, of course. And I want to give a special shout-out for RCGC Sarah because she let me know that Andromeda is on sale. So, thanks for that. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm at GamerGirl27 there and on Xbox. So, If you apparently want a raccoon recipe, come find me. I'll fill you in. So, yeah.
And what about Batch? Batch was there, wasn't he?
Batch. I said Batch.
Did you say Batch?
Yeah.
I said Batch. Oh. After Baron Von Glauer. Yeah.
Oh, Baron Von Glauer.
Mm-hmm.
Baron Von Glauer.
See, now I want to be at Tank Top's house right about now. That's just not even fair.
I know. Strawberry margarita.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Yeah, she's worth another year or two, Greg.
Absolutely. I told her she's stuck with me.
There you go.
Happy to be stuck with you.
Yep. It literally is till death do us part, one way or the other. All right. We're going to pass this over to Fraser.
Yes, quite.
Yes.
yes.
Maniacal grin.
Thank you very much. Guys, it's been lovely to podcast with you again and to everybody who listens. That's pretty much it. Same as normal business as usual. Oh, we never mentioned, though, we are going to be doing some multiplayer tomorrow.
Yes.
We're just shifting it a little bit, a couple of hours later. So it'll be 7 p.m. in the UK, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard, and I believe that's 11 in warm climates.
Right.
11 a.m. So the Halo 5. Be there or be square.
Halo 6. We never talked about Halo 6.
That's because it's not a thing yet.
It's been talked about.
Not really. A little bit.
Sort of. You know, Larry was talking about it.
I know, they acknowledge the fact that they want to go back to Master Chief. Yeah. Big shock.
Mm. You're right.
Okay. Yeah. We'll have more to talk about that in a few weeks.
Aww.
Robin.
Yes. Shoutouts. Oh, shit. Shoutouts. Okay, well, my name is Robin Tate. I'm in Ballymena, Northern Ireland. You can get me at Bongo the Sane. And my telephone number is 0783. No, it's my email address is robin@ocpod.com. And you can find my blog at bongo.ocpod.com. I'd like to shout out John Moss because he likes some of these books that we've been listening to. Good lad. Mr. Miyagi, you've got a lovely haircut. And SLH, please send me your victory achieve for Mass Effect. And Dan, hardly Dan, we need to talk to you because Dan's doing a charity event very, very soon and he needs to give us some information so we can talk about it on the podcast. I think he's going to do a 24-hour or something like that gaming session for charity.
Did I not hear also he was going to go on a date?
Oh. Yes.
Ooh. I thought I saw that. Yeah.
It was on Twitter, yeah.
It's on Channel 4?
Also on Channel 4.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Cool. Good luck with that, Dan. Good luck with that.
Yeah, and thank you. I love podcasting with you guys. And Fraser is not a bad lad whatsoever. And Kim is
thanks, love.
Dangerous.
Thank you.
And Greg, it's disturbing watching you in that tank top. It really
watch
does
it.
Look.
Watch it, looks, Skippy.
Yeah,
watch it.
Okay, I'll stop now while I'm ahead. Richard Webster, do you want to say hello to anybody?
Yeah, we actually have a competition winner.
Oh, yeah. God,
that's right.
Yes, we didn't talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah, we're giving away Inside
really
this week.
You suck at the social thing.
I know, yeah. We're giving away Inside on PC for the Steams. We put a thing out on Twitter saying retweet to enter. We'll probably do this more often because I have Humble Monthly now, and I own the games already. Ooh. So just give them away, you know.
Give them away.
As you do. I signed up to get The Witness. You pay like $12 and you get The Witness. And I was like, yeah, that's a bargain. Witness. The Witness is all right, by the way. I've not been on in a while to talk about games, but The Witness is all right. So yeah, the winner is Pete Terraform off Twitter's.
Oh, very good.
So well done, Pete.
There you go.
Yeah. I'll send you a link or whatever, you know. Boom.
Right.
Yeah. Congrats. Oh, shout out to me missus. I said to me missus before, it's about 8 o'clock, I was like, babe, I'm a bit hungry. Go to the shop and get me some muffins. And she went, no, it's all right, I'll make you some scones. So she made me some scones, homemade. What can I say?
Ooh, there you go.
Misogyny is awesome. Alive in the Webster house. So yeah, homemade scones for the win. Anyway, that's it.
Absolutely.
Nice.
All right.
Scones.
I guess that leaves me.
It does.
Well, a big thank you to Robin, Fraser, and Kim. Yeah. Fantastic podcasting with you guys. Even if one of you is a monkey. Mr. Webster, huge thank yous to you. You always come through. You and Mark are literally our production crew. So props to you. Thank you for making everything run smoothly. As far as I know, it ran smoothly, and that's all that matters. Shout out to everybody that has been listening to the show. We really do thank you for participating, whether it be just listening or being in the chat, taking part in one of our crazy contests. You know, it's a big, giant community that we love, and it just makes video gaming that much better. And, sometimes you just had a loss of words. Robin Tate, you put me at a loss for words. It's weird because right now with that hat on and the glasses, you kind of look like Michael Pachter to me. I don't know why.
A little bit.
Anyway. Yeah. But yeah, so thank you to everybody for listening. Catch us again next week. Big shout outs to Gary and Courtney again. Shout out to Mark Wright, who I accidentally have called twice now over the past week when my phone has been in my pocket.
Pocket and call. Mark, sexy.
Totally pocket call, man. Yeah. Sorry about booty that, Mark.
It's like a booty call, but from your pocket.
Totally a booty call. thankfully, just pitch black in there. Yeah.
Is that right? Is that normal? I like are you two tone? Are you two tone?
And on that note, Rich, fire up the music. We're done.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Stay tuned for some fun outtakes and bloopers. See you same time next week.
So, good week for everybody. So-so.
Fucking busy.
I guess we can talk about this on the show.
Too fucking busy.
All right. Well, there you go.
But don't trust me.
There you fucking go.
There you fucking go.
Can I...
No.
Duck out of the call here, and can you call me back in, please?
Fucking...
Jesus. Well, yes, we can.
Beam.
That is everything. The plan. Yes.
Fucking everything.
Rich.
Chickens.
How are we looking
chickens
for launch?
We're doing all right, you know.
Chickens.
Are we doing chickens? What?
Yeah. What does that mean? Does that mean we're going to be good to go in like 1 minute?
About 5 minutes. I'm just doing the chat now. Getting the chat in all there. Right.
1-1-1-1-1.
1-1-1-1-1.
1-1. Ah, there we go.
Yeah.
Are we live yet?
No. There. Main 4. YouTube. Wait there. Oh, fuck. Wait there.
We're there. This won't happen next week, will it, Fraser?
How are we getting on?
We're getting on. I don't know if we're actually on or not. Is anybody on?
No, mine's still offline.
Right, can we, would somebody mind just tweeting the shit?
I will tweet some shit, sure.
Just because it's a bit tricky with all these screens.
Yeah, I can tweet some shit.
Right, we've got the chat box, we've got the main 4, start soon, YouTube's ready to go, current game. Right, so the stream is on, and we should automatically stream to everything now.
The stream is on.
Everything on the stream.
Fucking hell, I feel like...
Puffing down.
Like Kevin Bacon. God, Kevin Bacon. Wow, imagine having been called Kevin Bacon. You'd wake up hungry every day just saying your name.
4.
No. 19. 19. Paul Hardcastle.
Righty-ho. 419.
I'm not following that reference right now. I don't know why. Maybe I'm not remembering correctly.
For fuck's sake. It was number 1 for fucking weeks, you fucking monkey. Christ almighty. Jesus, how did you ever get out of that fucking bacterial stage of life?
In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19.
Intro music's playing now. They can't hear me, but they would be able to hear you, so keep it fucking quiet, lads and ladies.
You too, Rich, don't... fire up the music. We're done. Again, I don't know if it's playing or not.
It's playing, don't worry.
Time to go skunk hunting. Let's get those guns on the rack. Let's go, Tim. Let's embrace the horror. Embrace it. And we're breaking out the good champagne.
You'll hate me for that later. Never mind. Apparently, none of you are Walking Dead fans, are you?
No. Okay. I recognize it.
Yeah. I knew you would, Rich, but I just realized. Not really, Robin, Fraser, and Kim, I don't think any of you guys watch The Walking Dead.
No.
What? Well, it's depressing. It's
I just depressing. Thought it was not very good.
You're a wanker.
You I agree with Rich.
Yeah.
I seen a really good YouTube video of a girl on America's Got Talent.
Really? You saw something on something tube, a girl playing some sort of oboe.
Oboe. Ukulele.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Last year, she was brilliant.
All right, I gotta go.
I can read between the lines.
I need more margarita.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many,
come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
And of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.